said the rain can stick around as long as it brings the cool breeze with it. I'm just okay with that. So we'll thank the Lord for watering the earth and blessing us with the rain. So I see that those of you who were here this morning don't want to come back this after. I get it. No. It's great to see everybody out this afternoon, and we're looking forward to what God wants to share with us through Steve. I thought what he shared this morning was so right on to our theme for the week, and now he's going to talk about the church. Amen. A deep topic and a good topic. So we want to look at that this afternoon. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your bountiful blessings in our lives. Father, we thank you for the rains, which water and nourish the earth, and we're so thankful for that. We're not living in a time of drought right now. We're blessed, and so thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the coolness of the breeze, and we pray that you would just bless us with your presence this afternoon in a very special way as we again look at the theme of hosting the Holy Spirit. Help us to pry our lids off and to allow you to move in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Steve?
Hallelujah. How many here love Jesus? Amen. If you love Jesus, stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? All the time. Praise the Lord. I'm happy and blessed to be here. And like Doug was saying here, we're part of a lot of rain. Amen. And this is the greatest day to live in. With the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. With the Holy Spirit, you can do everything. Yes. Amen. What can't you do with God? Amen. Holy Spirit, God on the earth today. He's alive. He's well. Amen. All powerful, all strength, all wisdom. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, five powerful words. And wherever I go, and Doug and I here, we went numerous nations. I always do this. I think I did this last year. Jesus said five powerful words. He said, I will. Amen. What is Jesus doing today? He said, I will come back. I will return. Amen. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Hallelujah. What is Jesus doing today? He's building his church. Amen. And how do we see that? How do we join with him? We host the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Can I hear a hallelujah on that? Praise the Lord. I will build my church. Amen. So we're going to say that five times. We're going to say that. We're going to emphasize each word different. We're going to first say, I will say, Jesus said. And then you would say, I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And we'll do it five times. For say, amen. All right. What we're doing, we're repeating the words of Jesus. Amen. We are confessing what Christ is doing on this earth. We are seeing him build his church. And the gates, hallelujah, of hell will not prevail. Amen. He's building. Jesus said, I will build my church. 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 It's his church. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will build my church. Let's say it one more time together. Jesus said, I will build my church. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you that you are holy. Thank you that you are merciful. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. And pour it out, Lord, these next few minutes together. here at United Zion 2025 camp, when you express to this people, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, by my Spirit, I confess it, Lord, over this church. By my Spirit, I confess it and profess it over United Zion. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. And we give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I have family and friends this morning. You know where Palmyra is. You know where that place is? Amen. They're taking over Palmyra by the grace of God and his son Josiah. They are here, and I want to ask Pastor Doug, could you just give a greeting, please? Would you come? You could use this mic here at the stand. Just give us a greeting. Douglas serves on our board of Healing Wounded Hearts, and we serve on his church board there at New Covenant. God bless you. Thank you. I'm offering you my hand, by the way. Amen. God bless you.
Hey. Well, I've always heard about this camp. I'm good friends with Pastor Rick Martineau. There he is there. And I've tried to get here. Just things have come up. But today, God moved heaven and earth. And I'm just so delighted to be here. I'm here to support my good friends. And you have such a beautiful place here. And I know that God is doing great things.
Amen. Amen. And God bless you. God bless you from our amen. Oh, wow. They've been doing, I don't need that one. That was kind of wild. Douglas has been hosting tent revivals. When was the tent revival?
Right before Easter
tent revival. And it's just come off a weekend of revival at their church. And very powerful. So thank you for your faith. And thank you for serving Jesus. And may God open up the windows of heaven over you and pour upon you a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. I just see God open up your head like a lid and pouring things down in there and shutting it and letting it come out. Amen? So let it come out, Doug. Let it flow. I didn't know you will. Amen. Hosting the Holy Spirit. Amen? By my Spirit, saith the Lord in Zechariah. I like to hear from my wife. Wouldn't you like to hear from Beverly? She's a better preacher than I am. And I want to get her up here and give a testimony on hosting the Holy Spirit, or what God is to you today. Babe, you can use this mic if you want. You want the stand, you want to hold it?
We'll pull the stand over right there.
Yeah. Just something?
Hallelujah. So Steve asked me to share a little bit, and some of you, I think, maybe River of Life, have heard my testimony of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I grew up in the Mennonite church, 75 miles east of here, and I had never heard that term of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in water. So that was at 15 years of age. And for the children, I don't see any small children here, but summer camp is a great place to send your children. They're in a totally different environment. Both Steve and I, we didn't know each other, but we both got saved at summer camp. Mine was in the Poconos, his was
Blue Mountains.
Okay. Anyway, so several years later, I went to college, moved to Florida for a while. During that time, sad to say, I backslid. And a year later, I came back to Pennsylvania. And in the Mennonite church, this pastor, two pastors, I believe, came to our church, and they were speaking on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I was like, oh, what's this all about? And so after a weekend of meetings and hearing them speak, it just really started stirring my heart. And I rededicated my heart to God during that time. And I was in nursing school at the time. So in that, the next 2 or 3 days after the pastors had left, I still didn't know how exactly do we receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I know the Holy Spirit fills us with a power and He changes our lives, right? So I was at home by myself. I didn't go to school that day because I wasn't feeling physically well. Was there by myself, and this was a really great, different thing for me. I started singing "How Great Thou Art." That was really different because I had swung over to listening to secular music, and then out of my mouth, I started singing "How Great Thou Art," and with it, I think I sang one or two of the verses, and every time I got to the refrain, these other words started coming to me, and I didn't know what it was, and it like scared me. And later on, I thought, why would the devil give us a different language? You know, that's not what he does. You know, and so I think by the time I got to the fourth verse, these different words started coming to me every time I got to the refrain. So I started praying and said, God, if this is really you, if this is all from you, I receive it. I receive it as being baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And if it's really you, let's do it again. Let it happen again. And so the exact same thing happened again when I got to the end of that fourth verse. So I think that whole infilling that happened within me, I wanted to share it with everybody. I immediately started having a hunger to read the Word of God. And I wanted to go out and buy a Bible that was a version that I could understand better. So this was in the mid-70s, I believe. So that was when the Living Bible. Do any of you remember the Living Bible? So I went out to our local Christian bookstore and was going to purchase the Living Bible. When I got into my car, I thought, wait a minute. If something would happen to me on my way to get this Bible, nobody knows that the Holy Spirit really entered my life, and my life has been changed. So I stopped and I wrote a letter, and I put it in my glove compartment and was telling whoever would find me that they were not to worry, that I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and God had done a new thing in my life. And I think from there, anyway, I never had an accident, nothing happened, and so I was able to share it in the coming days. And I think the biggest thing that changed in my heart was peace and joy. I had peace that just was unexplainable. I had a joy, and I just had a different relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. And I think I wanted to share on the practical, this is jumping ahead to a kind of different thing. When Steve was sharing this morning about the Holy Spirit, I'm a very practical person. So I look at, okay, how can we practically hear from the Holy Spirit? And I know for myself, I hear the little whispers. You know, when we're in tune with what God is doing in our lives, as we spend time in prayer, we're in tune with Him, and we hear that little whisper. So I'm going to give a very practical example. It may seem kind of silly to some of you, I don't know, but I know it was the Holy Spirit. So Saturday morning, Steve was busy studying and praying in our office, getting ready for this time together, and I think it was mid-morning, and I started getting hungry. So I made myself a nice egg dish. I put cheese on it and put it on a plate, and it looked so nice, and I was ready to sit down and eat it, and all of a sudden I had this little whisper saying, go serve Steve, give it to Steve. And I did have to argue with the Holy Spirit. It's like, really? Really? That's what you want me to do? So I did. I went and gave it to Steve, and I think it really blessed him. And I don't know, I came back and made another batch for myself. But that may sound like a silly example, but I think it's those things. If we stop and listen to that inner thing, however we hear from the Holy Spirit, stay tuned in, because he has a lot to say to us. So God bless you.
Amen. In listening, Beverly, to what you said quite a few things. Three things stand out to me in your testimony. Number one, how you yielded. You know, you were hosting the Holy Spirit at 15 years old. You said, Lord, if this is of you, do it. What greater thing can you say? Amen? Let me move this. I'm sorry. That's very powerful. You hosted him in your life. You yes to him with everything you had. And then, because of the Holy Spirit, because of what he's done in your life, you became a witness, and you wrote down, you know, what happened to your life. And that happens when we host the Holy Spirit, we become witnesses. In other words, if we host the Holy Spirit, we kind of, personally, then we kind of host him physically, outwardly, like a witness. We host him to others. This is who the Holy Spirit is. This is who Jesus is. This is what happened to my life. God did this to my life. And you became that witness. Amen? And then you mentioned just on Saturday how through the Holy Spirit and yield the Holy Spirit, you gave. Amen? Giving is godliness. Sharing is godliness and hearing from the Holy Spirit. And that is my theme. This morning, we talked about hosting the Holy Spirit more on an individual way. And now we want to talk about hosting the Holy Spirit more. How does it look in a community or in a corporate as a church? And with that also, in that also, we want to talk about hosting the Holy Spirit to others and demonstrating who God is. Amen? Demonstrating his love and demonstrating his power, and let God work in his miracles that others may know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. That is my heart. I want my text, which I'll be going back to throughout the next remaining minutes, maybe 30 more minutes, is found. I have a scriptural foundation, amen, and it's found in the book of Acts, of course, Acts 13, verse 2. This is my biblical foundation for hosting the Holy Spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In the book of Acts, verse 2. As they ministered, that is they, the teachers and the elders of the church of Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord. Everybody say, minister to the Lord. And fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away. That's the crux of my message on this. And what I want to do again is give some identity to who the Holy Spirit is, then I will tie it together, church, to this of Antioch. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is compared many times to different things, and I call them the emblems of the Holy Spirit. The emblems of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when Jesus was baptized, amen, when Jesus went into the Jordan, around the age 30, around the age where someone becomes a priest, He went into the Jordan. Many people say the same place that Joshua from the wilderness, Joshua to the promised land. They crossed over the Jordan miraculously. And Joshua built, put 12 stones on that shore that this is the people of God whom God loves, whom God is with. This is the people that will glorify God. And Joshua put 12 stones as a memorial there. Jesus, around 30 years old, was baptized around the same place those stones were set, 30 years old, the age of a priest. And when Jesus came up out of the water, just like a high priest, when he leaves the ministry, he gives that anointing of high priest to his eldest son. And when Jesus came up out of that water, the hallelujah, the Father God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And from that moment on, Jesus became our high priest. Can someone say hallelujah? He became the Lamb, and he came out of that water. And from that moment on, through the priestly ministry of Jesus, he began to work miracles and heal and preach the gospel and preach the kingdom. And then Jesus said that we are his priests. Amen? And that's why I said it is easier to host the Holy Spirit when you understand that we, as believers, we carry that priesthood. Amen? We're the ones that attend to things of God. We're the intercessors. We're the ones who pray. We're the ones who seek the Lord. We're the ones who hear from God. We're his hands and feet. We're the ones in the Scriptures. Okay? We are the priests of God. And that's how, as a priest, then we go, "I want to host you, Holy Spirit." I take time now. I take my 20 minutes of my day right now, and I now host you, Holy Spirit. Come. Speak to me. And then you begin to worship Jesus. You begin to, "Oh, Lord, I thank you. You're my Savior. I thank you. You're my healer. I thank you, Lord, for everything in my life. You're everything, Lord." And then begin, "Holy Spirit, I open up to you. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to host you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know who you are. I want to be a witness on this. Use me, Lord." Amen? And remember we talked about how Holy Spirit can be resisted, how he can be quenched, and how he can be grieved. I think the number one things that can grieve the Holy Spirit and hurt the Holy Spirit is a wasted life. I really do. I really believe that all that God has given to us, and I sit there and think, "Lord, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, what can I do?" Amen? I believe that really hurts the Holy Spirit. And he's like, "No, give me a chance. I'll show you what I can do." Amen? Give me something. Amen? And I can glorify myself on this earth. Amen? Or glorify Jesus. Amen? We got to yield to that. But we stumble sometimes in our identity. That's why we have to identify with the priesthood to understand the priesthood duties is to minister to the Holy Spirit. The priesthood duties is to minister to Jesus Christ. The priestly duty of the United Zion Church is to minister to Jesus Christ. That's your number one. Amen? And as you minister to Jesus, what the fellowship you do in private, so to speak, as United Zion, will continue, would make the future of your church. How you fellowship with Holy Spirit today will make your future of United Zion tomorrow. Amen? Amen. It is the way it is. We are nothing without Holy Spirit. Amen? We're nothing. We're nothing. Remember David when he sinned? And in Psalms 51, where he cried out to God in repentance and to be restored, after everything was said and done, David cried out. He said, "Oh, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take him, no, Lord, anything but that." Because the king knew without the anointing, he was nothing. Amen? We are nothing but with the anointing, hallelujah, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, with the love of the Holy Spirit, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, amen, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and with the peace of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, guidance, peace. Amen. Hallelujah. So there was Jesus, came up out of that water, and what happened? They saw the Holy Spirit descend on him as of a what? dove. Hallelujah. That's one emblem, the dove, like the Holy Spirit, the dove. Do you know doves mate for life? Those birds of a feather flock together. Amen. They mate for life. You know those doves are one of the birds, the most prolific. In other words, when they eat berries and they fly around and the berries come out, they're one of the most prolific animal birds in the world. They grow trees and plants and whatever they do. They're fruitful, crazy birds. Doves, they may fly. Do you know the wings of doves? Now, if you don't believe me, you go ahead. I don't care if you get out your phone and you Google it. But on each wing, there are 9 feathers on each wing. Nine. So when they fly, they have all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and all 9 of the fruit. That bird has all the gifts and all the fruit. And that back tail, look it up. The back tail has 5 feathers. Teachers, pastors, and what's the other one? I forget. Evangelists. I'm only kidding you. An evangelist. God, that bird has all the gifts, all the fruit, and all the fivefold. Someone say hallelujah. So I'm telling you, it's powerful, but that is symbol, the Holy Spirit. He's also known in the Bible, I got to make sure my time, of fire. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, the flame sat on each head. Amen. The flame came. If you have a head, you have a flame. Amen. The flame burned. What, Josiah, are 3 elements of fire? What makes fire? What 3 things do we need to burn, to make a fire? How many Boy Scouts are here? Okay, you need something like air and wind, oxygen. Air, oxygen. We need one. Fuel. You need something to burn, like wood. So you and I, we can burn. And there's one more. Yeah, like heat or something to strike to make sure it goes. Amen? You need those 3 elements in life. Those 3 elements, God has made you the exactly the way He wants you to be. And God will put people in your life so that the wind will blow on you. And like Beverly, you will begin to walk with the Holy Spirit and you will be moved with the Holy Spirit. And then the Jesus is like the heat to me. Jesus is like that spark to me. You love Jesus, and that sparks out, allowing the Holy Spirit to move and allowing you to have a flame of fire. Amen? So he's fire. But the fire needs to have attention. Every fire needs to be stroked, or more logs, more fuel, seeking God, adding to it, Bible study, prayer groups. All those things will help keep your fire burning. Amen? Loving another, taking communion, all the elements of God, and you'll have those experiences. Some young ones want to be baptized in water. All those areas will always build the fire that God has in your life. Amen? The Holy Spirit is like fire. The Holy Spirit is like wine. On the day of Pentecost, infilling, and they were speaking in the Spirit. People said, they mocked him. And they said, this is a new wine. They thought the church was drunk. But the Holy Spirit is like wine. The reason why I was a drug addict and I had alcohol and drugs in my life, because I did not trust the Holy Spirit. Amen? Those things are counterfeit on my life to say, Holy Spirit, you come. If I have the Holy Spirit, they're imitations. If I have the Holy Spirit in my life, everything else is an imitation. He's the genuine. To me, He's the Most High. Amen? I don't need anything else when I have Jesus in my life. Amen? I don't need I don't wake up in the morning looking for drugs or alcohol. Like, what do I do in the mornings? What do I say in the mornings? Who was here this morning? What do I say? A plus plus. Woo! Hey, someone give her an A plus. Oh, I love you. When I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Benny Hinn wrote a book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I wake up, good morning, Holy Spirit. And then Beverly would always like make me pray a prayer in our marriage. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Then now I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. This is the day. And I try to speak instead of, you know, mumble it because you're in bed. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then since I've been preaching on Jesus' love the last year, then I say, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's my good morning when I wake up. And then I get out of bed. Yep. I make a confession. So to me, that's hosting the Holy Spirit right away in the mornings. I host him. Amen. There's another one. Dove, fire, wine. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, you will say things and do things. You will be more bolder, and you may do things more than you thought you would ever do, because it's the influence of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. You may say things you never thought you would say. And I begin to pray for people at meetings, like with Doug and things, and these things will come out of me and say things to people. And I didn't know what they were at first, and then it's the word of knowledge or something. I just think about things. And people come to me and say, wow, that really blessed me. That was right on. But it wasn't Steve Hoffman. It was the Holy Spirit. He knows that person's heart. He knows what that person needs. He knows what they're going through. So when we host the Holy Spirit and we host him in front of a meeting like this, then God begins to speak and the Holy Spirit begins to move, and we have ourselves, we call church. Amen. It's wine, the new wine. The Holy Spirit is compared. Again, you can see it blowing through the trees. Feel the wind, and Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to breath, to wind. By my spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, by my breath, it says in the Old Testament, saith the Lord. By my wind, or it's even translated in Hebrew, by my forced air, not by might, meaning again, that word might was used almost every other place in the Old Testament as army. Not by an army, not by power, but by my forced air, saith the Lord. Amen? Wouldn't it be so good God gets so close to you, he can feel his breath? May the Holy Spirit breathe on you. Amen, amen. More Jesus, more. Amen? Welsh revival. Bend me, Jesus, bend me. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Years ago, wow, let me say a couple of things here. Years ago, I think it was in a book called God Chasers. I don't know if you ever heard the book. It was a popular book, God Chasers, by a last name, something with Tooney or Tenney.
Tommy Tinney.
Thank you. Say it louder, please.
Tommy Tinney.
And this is verified. The Holy Spirit, I think it was in Baltimore. The Holy Spirit was being poured out on the church. They were having revival meetings. It was so strong, people would be stopping along the road and pulling into the parking lot. People just driving by wondering what is happening. They sensed something. The Spirit of God was so strong at this church. People would get out of their cars, the believers from the church, and begin kneeling in the parking lot and praying. They couldn't even get in the church doors. That's how strong the presence of God was. Can you imagine? And in the church that, you say Tinney? Tinney was there with the pastor, and they were in the front row, and everybody was worshiping Jesus. God was moving. They didn't start the church service, but they were having a service before a service. People were just worshiping Jesus. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Tinney was sitting there, and the pastor said, are you ready to go? And I'm kind of paraphrasing. I don't know exactly what was happening in that front. You have to research. You researched yourself. And he said, okay. The pastor said to Tinney, are you ready? And Tinney didn't know what to say. He says, no, I'm just going to stay here with Jesus, man. I'm not moving. The pastor said, okay. So the pastor got up. Did you remember this story? He got up to the pulpit, and he said something that was good. He said, this pastor said, Many people are seeking his hand, but they should seek his face. And when he said that, many people should be are seeking God's hand, but they should seek his face. And when he said that, the pastor fell back almost 8 to 10 feet, and the pulpit was split in half. And the pastor was laid on the floor. And everybody kept on worshiping. Because when the Holy Spirit is speaking, man don't have to speak. When the Holy Spirit is moving, man don't have to move. And Brother Chuck, I know that you are moving on in a different direction this year. But it is my prayer that United Zion would be united with the Holy Spirit. That this church would be so filled with the Holy Spirit, so on fire with the Holy Spirit, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I don't think, Chuck, it's by accident that hosting the Holy Spirit is the theme. As you are departing, the Holy Spirit is even coming even more. And I believe that in Jesus' name. We are hosting him, a new fresh breath, a new wave coming. And just remember, when God is moving, we don't have to move. We can just be in the presence of Jesus. Amen? And that's a lesson for you, Doug, as a pastor, as God is moving on your church. When that's how, remember I told you about when I got filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire back in 1989, that his presence was so strong, we dare not touch it. Whatever he did, when the people were falling over, I dare not touch it. We had such an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He was everything. Everything. And I would love to go back in those days. I miss it. Once you tasted that, you don't want to taste anything else. It was so powerful. His presence, his fire, his power. He was everything. But we leak. My bucket has a hole in it. You leak. And that's why we need to learn and talk about in the open how to host the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because we need that together. It's not just individual. Now it's by a church. How can we host the Holy Spirit together? Amen? One of the signs of Holy Spirit is biblical unity. Amen? Unity. Jesus desires his church to be unified. And the more we have of the Holy Spirit, the more unity we will have. The more we have of the Holy Spirit, the less division we will have. Amen? Here we go. The more the Holy Spirit, the less confusion we will have. And self-centeredness. Amen? And control. And I'm going to say it by the grace of God. We traveled to many churches, and I found one of the most, we talked about quenching the Holy Spirit earlier and grieving the Holy Spirit, resisting him. As we traveled to many churches, sometimes my heart would break because they were my friends and I loved them so much. But sometimes nothing will hinder the Holy Spirit more than an insecure pastor. Because the way in our culture, we're very pastoral mindset, and we give that man of God, you know, so much in that church and rely on him so much. But if he's insecure and he controls this, and he's insecure and he don't let women minister in the church, or he's insecure and he don't want to have this healing service, or whatever it is, and I'm not degrading United Zion, I'm just saying what we experienced, my heart would break. I would leave that church and we would say, man, I love that man. He's a man of God and I know God's hands on him, but wow, he's quenching the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will that church ever have a renewal and a revival and an outpouring? Will that church ever see the wells of salvation being opened that the lost would be saved? Would we see a thrust for missions from that denomination? Amen. And the majority of them that we would drive away talking about it, my wife and I, and just saying, oh, most of them are no longer in the ministry. They got burned out. That's sad. Church, amen? Beautiful men of God, but they were flawed, amen? The more together we unify, the more we have a teamwork, and that's what I like about United Zion. I'll get to you personally now. You have a team of leaders and elders that pray together and work together and talk together. Amen to that. Praise God to that. And that encourages me for you. And encourages me that at this season and at this time, you are saying, we are hosting the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Here in the church of Antioch, they ministered to the Lord. What does that look like? What does that mean? They ministered to the Lord. Just think of what does that mean? How do we minister? Amen. You say, Steve, they prayed. And this is just my interpretation. This is my revelation. This is what I believe. Does that mean they were praying? It doesn't say they were. They were ministering. Were they praying? I believe they were praying. Were they worshiping? As we know worship. Yes, I believe they were. I believe they were praying. I believe they were worshiping. Were they quoting Scripture? I believe they were, as they knew Scripture in those days. I believe minister, another word, remember we were talking about priests? I believe as a church, when we minister to Jesus, means we, now I'm just giving one revelation, amen? Don't count me out. Don't kick me out on this one. I believe it may look like this, Brother Chuck. If we go to a church, we take it, I'm just saying one Sunday, we take away the pews and we form a circle. We're all sitting in a circle and we all just sit and we begin to bless Jesus. Just begin to bless him. There's really no band playing or nothing's wrong with that, you know, a song singing, a worship leader. We just on our own begin to say, thank you, Lord. I bless you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We're seeking your face right now. And you should begin to honor Jesus. You adore him. Almost like we were talking about this morning, when you find your silent place and your secret place and you begin to host the Holy Spirit, you begin to bless Jesus and you begin to open up to Jesus and you begin to open up to the Holy Spirit. And then someone may pray out loud. Some may read a scripture out loud. Some may sing a song out loud. We are just having church by just worshiping the Lord. Do you understand, Chuck, what I'm saying a little bit? And we're just doing it all together in unity and in oneness. And there's no one big person trying to do the show or this or that. Nothing's wrong with that. This is just one Sunday we're ministering to Jesus. And as we're ministering to him, and we're not looking at our watches, you know, we're not looking at our clocks, we're not too busy to say, I can't wait till we're done. I got to go to McDonald's, you know. Everything's good, nothing wrong with it. But this certain day, we are just here loving Jesus and being open. Oh, Holy Spirit, I know you're going to speak, Lord. Just come. And you continue worship. And we just minister as priests. We minister and attend to him and love him and give ourselves to him and expect miracles. And as we have that faith and as we have that worship and as we have that heart for the lost and the heart for each other and the heart for the church, the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says, as they ministered to Jesus, the Holy Spirit said, he spoke, and he began what we call the first missions organization. Hallelujah. Hey, church, what can God do when we minister to Jesus? What can God do when we again become one and just seek the face of Jesus and be open to the Holy Spirit? What can God do if we lift up the name of Jesus and we host the Holy Spirit together and see what God will do? He will do great things. That's church. Amen? That's, I believe, the future. My prayer is, Brother Chuck, for you and all your pastors and leaders, all the members, that we are a people who worship Jesus. That we will be a people who host the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we are the people that have a heart for the lost. We said, in closing, we said this morning about that paint can. What's the first thing you do? And Douglas and I used to paint together, but we preached to each other so much and never made money. I know he did. God bless you, Doug. We said, I kind of tricked you with this stir stick. I said, if we're going to apply paint, what's the very first thing we must do? And you said, our famous nurse friend, I love her, she said, stir it up. But the very, and we said, yes, stir me, Lord. But the very first thing we do is we got to get the lid off. And that is, again, we need to be open to Holy Spirit. And as we're open to Holy, say, okay, Holy Spirit, then he comes with the stick and begins to stir you. Hallelujah. Stir your gifts. Hallelujah. Stir your dreams. And I'm going to say, stir every lie that the devil's trying to tell you that you're a nothing, you're a nobody, and you won't do any good. And I say, that's a lie, that through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Amen? The Holy Spirit is your greatest cheerleader. And I gave that illustration this morning. Hallelujah. And that's my heart for you. What, again, United Zion, what you do in private fellowship will be what you will be in public future. And it's my heart that you have a heart for worship. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Lord, we give you glory. We give you thanks. This is the beginning of this week, this new week of hosting you, Holy Spirit. I pass the mantle on to the next, and to the next. That, Lord, that your presence, your holy presence, would fill the temple. We are nothing without you, Holy Spirit. And through these next 3 days, Lord, I'm asking for miracles and signs and wonders upon your people of a revelation of hosting, the revelation of light, of peace, a revelation of Jesus Christ upon United Zion, a revelation, a hunger to worship and to love you no matter what. Lord, take this church for your glory, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for those 5 words, I will build my church. And Holy Spirit, again, we say to you, you are welcome. And I know it's just a form, but it's more than that. It is an absolute heart cry. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and manifest yourself. As Beverly prayed, manifest your gifts, manifest your grace, manifest your power, manifest your kingdom, manifest yourself, and use this church for your glory, we pray. Lord, establish it. We host you. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor, come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Love you, man.
Wow. Thank you, Steve.
Amen.
Been kind of a tradition. And I don't like that word, tradition.
There's some good ones.
I fight against it, but there's some good traditions.
Yeah.
Our brother's leaving later this week to go to Guatemala.
Yes, please.
And minister there. So can we gather around him? And are you going to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's gather around this couple and pray for them.
Hallelujah.
I'd like nothing more than to hear the tremendous things that God will do in their lives as they go and minister in another country. And so it's not through us. You know, it doesn't matter. It's missions.
That's right.
It doesn't matter who's the sending agency. It's God that's sending. And so, can we join with God in sending?
Yes. Amen.
You know, can you go in the name of the United Zion Church as well? I mean, we just want to pour our blessing on you guys.
Amen.
Everybody, I'm not just asking for the